Iowa drops their first game of the season. This is episode 259, one that we don't want to do. But hey, let's all use this as a little therapy. Let's talk it out, feel a little bit better about the game if we can. It's hard to go undefeated. That 2015 team somehow found a way, but it doesn't always happen. The Hawks lost to Purdue. It is what it is. We're still going to have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Why the Fuck Can't We Beat Purdue podcast.
I can't, dude. That's good.
I am at an absolute loss for words, ladies and gentlemen. The exact thing that the entire coaching staff preaches and harps on and drills into your head that you simply cannot overlook, take for granted, or come in underwhelming against anybody in the Big Ten, because on any day they'll beat you. You got to show up and play your best ball. We showed up again on offense, laying an absolute egg. And now the Hawks are not in their own driver's seat, really. Like, I mean, if they win out, I guess they are. But
not even.
It doesn't even feel like it anymore. And I don't know, man. I just got corrected. We're not even in the driver's seat anymore, boys and girls. So I need a therapist. That I was in Iowa City for the game, not at the game, but during the game. And I can confirm I'll never step foot in Iowa City again on a game day.
Because
I'll never be in Iowa City again for another game day as long as I live. And it's stamped.
A lot of things there. A lot of things. I think as we started the podcast, I watched David Bell ran by my window and he scored another touchdown. It's crazy. He's got 10,000.
650.
Yeah, he's got 10,000 receiving yards against us at this point. So real quick, Drake, you were in Iowa City. You were the first one. I mean, you were damn near the first one on Melrose Saturday morning. Didn't go to the game, but had by the Ward tailgate.
Here's the funny thing. I actually was the first one on Melrose because I was up at 5 to go get a cup of coffee, thinking that Starbucks opened at 5 in Iowa City like it did in Arizona. It does not. So I was driving around just taking in the sights and the smells and the cool October air that I don't get to experience anymore. And I thought it was going to be a fantastic day, dude. I was at the Ward tailgate first. Lined up, ready to go. And man, it turned into an absolute nightmare for us.
Heard you had half a donut. Just half though, because of the tummy issues.
No, I didn't have half a donut. I had a slice of the raspberry strudel cake, and boy, oh boy, it didn't disappoint.
So you made it to the Ward tailgate. I made it to the Ward tailgate. Kevin Ward was nowhere to be seen at the Ward tailgate. You were both at weddings this weekend. Is that correct?
Yep. Your boy was halfway across the country in the Commonwealth of Virginia for a wedding this weekend.
And how are the Virginians?
I don't know. There's like no one there from Virginia.
Okay. Yeah, they're probably all.
The couple was originally from Illinois. They just moved out there to say, fuck it, we're going to move out there. And so, it was, you know, there's like no one from Virginia.
Okay.
Big time shout out to the Kovacs, the newlywed Kovacs. It was pretty much the most lavish wedding you could put together. I'm not sure it gets much more elegant than what they did.
Where'd they go in Iowa City? Where was it?
Bella Sala.
Oh, nice.
And they did it. I mean, they dressed it up pretty darn nice.
Well, I'm glad somebody had a good day. Takes a lot to get Drake back to Iowa City. Like he said, he'll probably never come back again because clearly he's the bad luck charm. There were several bad things that happened. I'm going to start with this, actually. Swarm, somehow we fucked up the Swarm.
You're kidding.
Swarm got fucked up somehow. And what? I don't know whose fault it was on, but started playing. Camera flips onto the door. How long does it take in the stadium for that door to pop open when the once the camera flips on, right?
2 seconds.
Well, today it took 2 minutes. Saturday it took 2 minutes, maybe two and a half. The song was almost over before the team got out of the locker room. I don't know what was going on.
Sounds like that's on the stadium staff.
I don't think so, because it was at the same time it always is. The team was late. The team was 2 minutes late, because there is a script that is on the locker room walls.
That's true.
And I had a bad feeling. I didn't want to be that guy. I don't even think I would have been able to tweet it out anyway because of no service, but I didn't want to be that guy. But when something procedurally goes wrong, my sense of superstition goes off the chart. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And it started bad from there. Okay. Clearly, if it was that, or just the fact that Purdue has our number or whatever it may be, things continued to go poorly. As Drake alluded to in the intro, the offense, really the Iowa football team of 2021 got exposed in the way that they are primed and vulnerable to be exposed to. And we're going to talk about that, because I don't think that this is as bad as it feels, that this is a shock, right? Would you guys say this is a
shock? Let me ask you one thing. Aside from all the offensive woes, this was my only defensive question. I know you didn't see the game, but tell me this from an ideological standpoint. Why did Iowa not curtail a defense to stop David Bell? Because we knew that he was simply their best player by so far.
By a million.
It's a good question. I think your answer is it's easy to say, let's just focus our defense around this guy. Let's double team this guy. Let's always have a shadow over him. You do that and you open up other parts of the field. Yeah. It becomes, you really can't do that and play our style of defense. Teams that just live and play cover one all day can do that and just have your safety kind of, would be playing deep middle, kind of mirror, stay over the top of that one guy. That's just not how we play football. And there's some other reasons why David Bell had another career day against us, but we can go into them later.
Yeah. Thank you, Drake. It's almost like you were prepared. Like it almost sounds like I gave that to you to ask Kevin, which would be, which if Tech Guy was good, I would do that. I would prompt you guys to prompt each other. We took a lot of questions. I think,
but all I know is that the kid's played three games against us, and he's got 650 and five touchdowns in three games. Like,
oh yeah, if you see David Bell on your fantasy roster versus the Iowa Hawkeyes, he's an immediate start. He's a wide receiver one.
He might have. This is so bad, dude. This is so bad. David Bell is probably like a top 10 receiver in Kinnick Stadium all time, and he's played there twice. And that's including Iowa players. Like, it's like almost embarrassing. It isn't almost embarrassing. It is embarrassing. Plenty of the questions were about the defense. I want to say this.
Yeah, he would have had 36 fantasy points.
Jesus Christ. The way, and I meant to find, because I want to see the time of possession. I doubt either of you know that off the top of your head.
Purdue won by it was 30.
Yeah, 35 to 25. 35-25, which is actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be. With as much as it felt like Purdue dominated that game, it actually felt a lot greater. Felt like it was maybe closer to 40-20.
Well, you think about it, they have that.
Dude, I was about to say the first possession we dominated.
Pylon, that's a touchdown right there that we give.
I was going to say we really shouldn't feel great about the score, because it should have been 31-7. They missed a field goal. Granted, we did too, so you can kind of play the what-if game there. And I don't know on the field goal. guys. I don't know. It looked like a good snap, good hold. The wind was at his back, I think.
Oh, dude. There's no wind issue on that kick. He just hit a knuckleball straight left.
All I can say is sometimes this is my only speculation, and I don't have a clue if this is what it is. It could have been a plant foot. It could have been anything. Sometimes when kickers get close and they may be thinking about the wind, they'd like to just punch it, keep it low, drive it through the uprights. But when you punch it, your accuracy does fade by a few percentage points probably, but you're banking on it getting to, you know, through the posts before it has a lot of side-to-side horizontal movement, right? And clearly that didn't work out. So regardless, it just felt like Purdue controlled the entire game. And of course, Iowa Twitter and the fan base, and I think everybody has their ideas about this game. Who to blame? It's always who to blame. I wrote this down as a general statement before we get in here. A lot of you have reached out in the DMs in the past, not even about this game, but just in the past, and said, you guys, the best thing to come of your podcast, The Washed Up Walk-Ons, is you guys have opened my eyes to a new way to watch the game and interpret games and seasons as a fan, right? You guys provide a perspective that is so close and authentic and whatever words that they use to describe it, that it has changed the way people watch games and feel about games, win or lose. And that's incredible. Like, that really is, maybe if we had one thing to do, like, we don't want to change your minds about a whole bunch, but if we could somehow bring a perspective that makes it more real, makes it a little easier to see logically, then I think that's a good thing. But we also don't want to tell you how to feel about this game. Like, I'm not going to tell you how to feel about this Purdue loss, but we will offer our opinions.
Because I'm going to tell you how I feel, and right. I'm absolutely scummed. Yeah. And that's how I feel.
That's fair. I mean, yeah. It's like, yeah.
Quickly, because this doesn't mean a damn thing to any of us, but just because it's a constant. I'm going to go through the betting recap real quick. Michigan State wins by 5. The line was 4.5. Cha-ching for Kluve. Nebraska decided to make Tanner Morgan look like Tom Brady, so that was not a hit. But Kentucky stays within 23 of Georgia, baby. Let's go.
You covered in the last 4 seconds of the game.
Let's go. So 2-1 for me. Kevin, South Carolina lost, I think.
They won.
Barely won.
They barely won, yeah.
You blew it out of the water on the Arizona CU game. That was bad. That was bad.
Yeah. Just two bad teams. So, yeah, I think it was score 34-0.
Yep.
So under hits by 10.
Or and then Alabama, what did that game finish?
They crushed them. They beat them by like 40.
Okay, so Kevin's 2-1 as well. Bengals damn near beat the Lions today by 40. Yep. So that was a hit. Cardinals, how did that happen?
They just dominated
Cleveland.
Cleveland just finished.
So +3, that hits. And Broncos actually got
the smoked. Broncos kind of got tossed out of the stadium.
So 2-1 across the board for all the boys this week. That's a good week.
Yeah, 6-3 is a good week.
6-3. So last 2 weeks, you actually want to be following the walk-ons because we've been pretty good.
What is that? 15-3 in the last 2 weeks?
8-1 last week and 14-4. That's pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good.
They were telling us we were washed.
Yeah, we came back. We never quit. Another quick note, and this is not – there's plenty of people who, if you're tuning in, like, for the first time in a while and you hear this, you're going to think, oh, here we go, the fucking walk-ons and being homers again. This has nothing to do with Coach Doyle, but Dylan Doyle, two touchdowns for the Baylor Bears this weekend. Pretty elite. And
they handed him one and they threw him one.
Yep, 2 yards on both plays. So pretty cool to see him, because just as a human and – fellow athlete and guy that we were around a bunch, like, he's a really good dude, and I'm glad he's succeeding. So
yeah, that was kind of cool.
What does a loss This is one of the questions that wasn't so much like, hey, what's the problem? But more like, hey, you guys may be able to provide good perspective on this. Is there any way to describe a loss like this? We've talked a lot about like,
I'll never get over it. When we lost to Purdue in 2017, I'm not over it, and still, I'll never be over it.
Yeah. I'm not over the North Dakota State loss either. That one.
Like they just gave up the chance at perfection. Like they were there, dude. They were fucking sipping the warm milk that was prepared for them at night upon their throne, getting ready for bed, man. Like they were the number two team in the country. Everybody was sucking their ass, just like KF always says. And they had the world by the balls. And they fucking spilled their milk, man.
That's an animated way to describe it. Thank you, Drake. Kevin?
I mean, the first loss of the season always hits pretty bad. It's it's pretty degrading, pretty demoralizing. But just like the good wins, you have to learn from it, flush it, move on. You know, we still got to play 5 more games this year.
Yeah.
Plus another, you know, hopefully a couple more.
The best way that I could describe it, this is what came to mind for me. Now that we're in the working world, right? At least Kevin and I am, and there's a paycheck on the line every so often. So for those listening, imagine you go to work for a week, and then like Saturday's when you get your paycheck, right? Just theoretically, I know it doesn't work that way, but Saturday's when you get your paycheck each week, and then you show up Saturday to work, and you bust your balls, and at the end of the day, the boss comes in and says, "Yeah, you're not getting paid this week, so you know we'll see you Monday." that's how it feels.
We're not just tallying on to next week. You're just not getting compensated for
it. Right. That's
it's a shot to the gonads, man. It's it never feels good. Doesn't matter if you get your balls kicked in or you lose a really tough game. It just it hurts, you know.
Yeah. Do you think the how much do you guys play into
I'll say this before we move on. I think this bye week couldn't come at a better time for him.
The only better time it could have come was if it was this last week.
This last week, right, exactly. Right. But I'm glad that we don't have to play another couple games before a bye week. I think we really need a bye week right now to kind of just recuperate, readjust, try to get our guys healthy, and just kind of lock in on that last stretch of the season.
Mm-hmm. And I've got that at the end of the agenda too, because I want to talk a little bit about that. My next question to you guys was, because I'm still trying to figure this out for myself. I'm trying to figure out how much actual stock I put into the idea of an emotional hype hangover from last week.
I don't like really at all. It's for me, it's, if you have guys listening to the noise, listening how good they are, and you kind of slack off a week of preparation, that can maybe affect it. I can't speak if that's happening or not. I'm not in the locker room. I don't know. I'd like to think these guys are pretty focused and had a good week of practice, knowing that the opportunity they had before them, you know, being in a really good spot. But I don't really believe in, you know, the good win, hangover, coma, whatever. It just, all that really matters is your preparation from Sunday night to Saturday. And obviously Purdue is a more prepared team.
That's for sure. They ended up having an extra week to do it. Some would say their bye week came at the perfect time. Clearly they used it. For me, the reason that question comes up is because being in the stadium both times, it did feel like, I mean, it was very clear from a fan standpoint, and a player standpoint. I know we were able to feel energy and the vibe in a stadium as well. And I know that shouldn't affect the gameplay, Kevin, and the energy, but it did feel that way. It felt like maybe even the fans were on an emotional sort of hangover, like Kinnick just wasn't the same, so it just felt different. Wait, and
you really think that's from last week, or do you think that's because of what happened on the field? You know, we all know that in those close, big, hyped up matches, Kinnick can get rocking. And then when we're not playing so good, it's can sound like a church on a Monday morning, quiet as hell.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'll be honest. It did sort of feel, just because of how all time last week was from the beginning, there was a difference.
Right. I mean, I don't care if it's a close game, all seven home games at Kinnick, you're rarely going to get the energy that you got at that Penn State game.
Right.
And I mean, yeah. That's for the fans that go to games a lot, you know, that happens maybe once a year, the amount of energy and the noise and just everything, the electricity in the air, you know, that doesn't happen every week.
Right. And so, and so then obviously the execution of that from the team standpoint is like, well, I mean, last year was a perfect example, right? There was nobody in the stands. So it's like, okay, well, you better be able to play off something other than the crowd hype, because right.
And I, you know, I playing in front of fans is fun. Playing in front of fans that are getting after it, loud, getting into it, supporting the team is obviously fun.
Real fun.
But, you know, we got to play on the road too. We got to play against hostile fans. If you can't get yourself up to play a college football game, a Big Ten college football game, without fans, without the energy in the stadium, like, we can't create your own energy. I don't even know why you're playing Big Ten football.
Yeah.
You know, your career, you're going to get 50 opportunities to do that, maybe. Like, you should be able to get yourself juiced up for a game.
Right.
I get it.
We're going to take a quick break. I'm the tech guy, so I'm trying not to get fired, and I started doing the breaks, and then for last week's podcast, I didn't do the breaks, and Drake yelled at me, and when Drake yells at me, then I actually take notice, so we'll do a break this week. We'll be back in a second with some more thoughts. All right, as we bring it back in here, I did want to say this. This is from an email on the wait list for the Flags. Again, if you guys are interested in Flags, Hawks by Millie, even though we're 6-1 now, ranked 11th, which is actually higher than I thought we would stay in the poll. To be honest, quite frankly, with what I think the Hawks are on the field, I would call 11 a couple too high for my personal liking, with what they put on the field offensively. But if you still want a Hawks by a Millie flag, because it's always Hawks by a Millie, you guys can go to our website, thewashedupwalkons.com or hawksbyamillion.com, and there's a link on our website now for that. You do not have to email us for a wait list. So go get yourself a flag. And t-shirts, a whole run of merchandise. I know you guys are asking about that stuff too, including kid sizes, which has been a popular. We're going to have your little tykes running around in HBAM stuff, right? Because we're going to start them young, okay? We're putting them in the Army young. God, I almost made a really bad joke there. I was about to say, this is like ISIS. We're going to start.
Well, you said it. So you were going to say it.
Why did you stop yourself?
Good joke. Good joke, Tyler. Claps for me. But I wanted people to know that I had reservations about it. And it wasn't, I'm not Drake. I had a slight reservation, and then I said the joke. Okay. So
it's almost actually worse, honestly.
Okay, because I
this is probably wrong. I'm still going to say it, though.
Complete insanity. I can just be like, I don't even know what's going on.
I'm Drake. Yeah. Anyway, the guy on our wait list who sent us an email about a flag also added this. Wanted to say that before the Penn State game, I had no clue who you guys or Big E were until one of my old Iowa City roommates posted a picture of a Hawks by a Million flag after the Fox kickoff show. And then I put it all together and have been binging your guys' show since. The enthusiasm pouring out of you sounds like flooding a volcanic eruption with rocket fuel. And I love it. Even if I've had more than one awkward conversation about how tented I've been recently. So that's
cool. Boys and girls, tent up.
Yeah, get tented. Thank you for that, Steve. We love hearing from you guys about that kind of stuff. Someone also asked, what does a loss look like in the locker room right after the game? Do the coaches address the team, or is it just everyone changes quietly in street clothes and you talk on Sunday?
Half and half.
It's sad. I know that.
Yeah. It's like a very just depressing, you know, I've been to funerals that were more lively than a loss.
Guaranteed.
Agreed. And yeah. I've heard speeches at funerals that made me a lot less sad than when KF stands up there and is like, you know, there's not really much to say. We didn't do anything good. Yeah. We didn't get it done. This one's going to hurt for a long time because we're going to think about what could have been, but we just got to get up tomorrow morning, look at the film, get better and move on.
24 hours.
At that point, your head's hanging low and you're like, I wish this was Batman and the stadium imploded on itself. I don't want to live anymore.
It's not a great spot to be. After that, we bring it up, break it down. Hawks on 3-1-2-3 Hawks. And then
you go have a little powwow with your position group. Your position coach will
say
it's
very short.
Yeah, it's very short. You know, most of the talking happens on the Sunday after, you know.
Yeah.
Win or lose, really. It's just a few notes like, hey, good job, good effort, loved it, or vice versa. Be smart tonight. And then, you know, you get changed, shower, and get the hell out of there.
So back to what I said earlier. Was this shocking to you guys? I'll say this. Being in the stadium, it felt bad to be controlled like that. Drake, on our Big E podcast, you were all about how big time he was controlling that 575 bench. It felt like we were the bar and Purdue was Big E in that scenario.
And we weighed a lot less than 575 yesterday.
Yeah. The pundits, and I know this may piss some people off, specifically David Pollack, the SEC homer of all time.
Hey, if I fucking see David Pollack, it's on site. And that's for the whole Big Ten. That's not even just being an Iowa homer. David Pollack, it's on site, bro. I'm fighting you, and I'm knocking you fucking spark out.
Welcome into the podcast. If this is your first time, that's Drake Kulik. He was a fullback, hit his head a few times, and now he's on a mic. He's a little bit right. He's a little bit right. There's a little bit of what he said that's come to fruition here. Iowa football in 2021 is severely, severely lacking in one phase of the game. It's the offense. And he has been saying that eventually there's going to be a game where the defense and special teams just aren't able to get it done. And the offense has to be able to go win a game for him. That happened on Saturday, and we were a long ways away from winning the game on offense. So, you know, they're not, as much as it sucks to sit there and watch him trash our boys in black and gold on game day, and some of it may not have a whole lot of merit, some of it may, and you don't want to let your emotion sort of seep into the logic of what he's saying. He's not dumb, and he actually did play college football. He understands how big time Division I football works. Any football works, right? So this is why it doesn't shock me, is because that happened and our offense was bad. I mean, it was bad.
Listen, man, we talked about it for 4 weeks. We were like, hey, when the offense stops sleeping through games, I'll stop sleeping through podcasts. And they just showed up and took a nap through another game. I didn't get to see the whole thing. We started off really strong, and I don't know what the hell happened from the first two possessions to the rest of the game, because we had like a 16-play drive that should have ended in a touchdown, but we were bad in the red zone, shocker. And then we had another drive that actually culminated in a touchdown. So whatever happened from the first two plays through the rest of the game, I didn't get to see it all, but, I mean, nap time was not in the middle of the first quarter. It just wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree. I thought Brian actually called a decent game.
Kevin. Whoa, dude. You're crazy, bro. You're crazy. You don't know anything about football. Let me tell you how many people in our questions are asking for, when do we just admit that BF is an inept offensive coach? When do we admit that Brian doesn't know what he's doing? Why? This is where I think the walk-ons can really bring a perspective, right? Because here's it. I'm going to back it up real quick. When there's a bad NFL game, who gets blamed most of the time right away?
The quarterback.
Players get blamed. All the players, whoever it may be that day, right? Players, this is my opinion from what I see. Players get trashed. It's their job. Say it's the QB. He's making $100 million. He should be able to get out of the pocket. He should be able to do this, that, the other thing. In college, for some reason, at least at Iowa, a lot of people like to come for the offensive coaches, usually Brian.
Also the quarterback. But it's the quarterback and the offensive coordinator.
And I think that this makes sense because when we look at kids in college, people are more inclined to say that it's not to give the kids the benefit of the doubt and not the professionals who it's their job. And so then they look to naturally, well, it's got to be the play calling. It's got to be the play calling. Now, it's sort of crazy when those plays work, or even just look at objectively the plays that worked in this game offensively. You're not sitting there saying, God, Brian's so smart. Brian is so smart. You're looking at the guys and you're giving them credit on the ones that work. But the ones that don't work, you're saying, this guy behind me, I almost got in a fight like Drake Kulik would with this fat boy behind me who was running his mouth. He had a bad thing to say about everybody on the team and probably his whole family if he would have got the chance, because I mean, there was not a single positive thing coming out of his mouth. And
then I would have very swiftly told him to shut the fuck up.
He even yelled at an old guy in front of him that tried to tell him to like calm down and just watch the game.
There should have been a scrap.
I Lauren was nervous because I turned around and looked him in the eyes, and the old guy was like a little embarrassed that the guy, and I was like, wow, if this goes any farther, like I'm going to step in. It was that bad.
Didn't step in?
It didn't go any farther.
You're a pussy.
Yeah, I am. I'd probably tussle with you though. Like I'd give you the business. Like if we got in a ring, I'd take you 3-4 rounds. Okay. Not funny?
Moving on.
I thought it was funny.
Are we moving on?
Back to it. So let's go through the first half. Get a good play off the start. Then Peaches throws one in a little hot, a little high, gets deflected, interception for our first drive. Second drive didn't do a whole lot, but then, like Drake said, our next two drives were long, sustained drives that should have ended in points in both of them. Obviously, we had the missed, what was it, 18-yard field goal?
Short, 23. Yeah.
And then a nice 9-play, 80-yard drive that took 5 minutes, It's a good drive right there.
Take it. 7-7 at that point.
Yeah, and then we get the ball back with like 20 seconds. Nothing really happened in there. And then, second half comes around and Purdue just kind of controls the game. They go 8 plays, 66 yards, field goal. We can't respond.
A huge play in the game was the short crossing route that went for about 65. Like, was that like one of the turning points of the game, or am I crazy?
It was a big play.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's what, when we talk about defense, we'll talk about that, but yeah, they gave up too many big plays, but so we, to respond to that drive, we go out and we get sacked twice and end up having to punt, give the ball back. And that's when Purdue goes on their long drive that luckily for us ends in the fumble at the pylon.
But and at this
7 minutes, it's like the fourth quarter already. And yeah, we just get the ball for the second time in the second half.
And at this point in the game, it's 17-7, but it feels like 70-7 the way they've controlled us. It was wild. I sat there after that call was reversed from touchdown to touchback. And we now have the ball 80 yards to go. Let's go do something with it. If we can score on this drive somehow, although not a lot of confidence in that, it's a 3-point ball game. I turned and said that to the people we were sitting with and my wife. And I'm like, it does not feel like if we score, this is going to be a 3-point game, but it would have been. And
you know what happened? So I got my drives. So after that fumble, it goes sack, incomplete pass. And then we got a punt.
Yeah.
And we're punting into the wind, I think.
we punted in the wind every time. Like Torrey was, it was tough. I do want to highlight at one point, a fan from about 40 feet away from me threw a beer into the, onto the field. And one of the offensive linemen for Purdue picked it up and chugged it.
Yeah, that's kind of badass.
That's a
and he's kind move. Of an internet legend right now.
That's a savage move. That's a savage move, and I respect it.
The fan, don't be an asshole.
Yeah, that guy's an asshole.
Also, there was fans throwing stuff all over the country this week. You see, Lane Kiffin got hit with a golf ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, fans. Yeah. Fans.
Okay, let's fans, just remember, real life is not Twitter or Instagram or TikTok or any of that shit. Let's not be assholes. We can be assholes on the internet.
Yeah.
You can go ahead, be an asshole on the internet. You're still an asshole, but an asshole in real life, you're going to get yourself hurt.
Right, because you're going to run across a guy like Drake at some game who's liable to hop the – he'll Dennis Rodman the wall, and he'll come into the stands and start fighting you. Wasn't that Dennis Rodman?
No,
that was
Ben Wallace.
Ben Wallace. Yeah.
There's a good Netflix special on that, really. I highly recommend it.
And someone will do that. Someone will do that who's much bigger and more athletic and younger than you, and they'll put you in a coma. But, yeah, we couldn't do anything. So let's just get to the brunt of it, right? Like, what's our offensive problem? Is it Spencer?
Dude,
is it
I think Ryan? It's our offensive line. I had this conversation with somebody yesterday, and I said, if you could restart Spencer's career as a starter from day one and put him behind an offensive line that gave him – that made him build his confidence every week, he would be a completely different player. But for 2 years, he's played behind an offensive line that he didn't necessarily trust fully, and now he is a quarterback that is a little bit gun-shy in the pocket.
So Drake thinks it's the O-line. Kevin, would you agree it's the O-line?
I 100% agree. The main issue for this year's Hawkeye team is the offensive line.
And
I think Spencer Petras with a clean pocket is vastly better than Spencer Petras under pressure. As most
And I think he's vastly more confident, man, because I don't think the kid is confident in himself at all making plays in broken protections.
Especially like if he knows he's dead.
Well, yeah. He knows he's dead if he can't be clean. And right now it's like really affecting his play, in my opinion.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he's not Kyler Murray. Like he doesn't have.
We know he's not the most athletic quarterback, but I'm saying is with a clean pocket, he's damn near as good as any quarterback in the Big Ten.
I agree. And we've seen it. Just go find the plays this year where he's had a clean pocket.
He can make all the throws that we need to, and he's got time to make the throws.
We're in agreement, by the way. It's a clean sweep, 3 out of 3. All three of us think it's the offensive line. There's a bunch of people who are
right. And if you want to go to the running game, we didn't run the ball very efficiently. I think most of our solid run plays were really the result of the running backs making plays.
Yeah.
Tell me we're not our best team when there's a fullback in the game, when it's running and play action with fullback in the game.
I would agree with that, but you also have to be able to set that up, right? Like
Right, you have to be able to do other things. You can't just let a defense game plan against one package and just play you heads up 21 personnel all game. But we are the best version of ourselves when we're in that package, and that package is all based around just brute force and being a better, more physical team than the other squad. Like I've been saying the whole fucking season, and that's what we're looking best in.
And but again, where does that start?
I agree. I don't think we've run the ball very well with one bag zone schemes this year.
And where does that start? With the offensive line. And they are not a dominant. We are, I believe I saw this stat. I don't know who put it out there. We are, at least before Saturday's game, on the passing side, we were the 99th best passing offensive line or whatever, passing rated efficiency offensive line in the country. Right. And I don't know if we're
that, like, right, pressures per drop back.
I don't know how they calculate that, but we're damn near not even in the top 100. There's only 130 teams. Okay. And running the ball, we're not much better. We don't, other than Linderbaum, Schott even got a couple times. I looked Schott's way yesterday.
Didn't have a great game.
And he was not doing well. And let me tell you, Karlaftis, he's wishing that he could see Richmond and DeYoung every weekend because he feasted. So
that was a perfect example of a grown man with grown a ton man. Of confidence playing against a young kid who's still a little bit green. Like yeah. that was a very confident adult man.
And he's
playing against a young kid.
And he's a monster. He's a first round pick. He's their second best player behind David Bell. And when he was looking across the line at two young, inexperienced offensive linemen, respectively, he was licking his chops. And Spencer knows that. Spencer's on the other side of those offensive linemen going, well, I don't have a lot of time to get this out. Hard to throw downfield if I know this guy's going to be in my lap in 2 seconds.
And right, and to go along with that, it's hard for a play caller to call more complex routes that take time to develop when
exactly
you're not really getting that time out of your offensive line. So
right,
and let me ask you this,
Cooper, no, Drake, hold on.
Go ahead.
Kevin, that is a fantastic point. Brian is not stupid either. As many of you think he is on Twitter, he's not dumb. He knows these offensive linemen are getting torched. He coached the position the whole time we were there. He's looking at it going, well, Spencer has 2 seconds. That shortens the playbook down because if I'm running deep vertical routes, we're just wasting our time. We're wasting our time because Spencer is not going to have the time or the pocket to throw it.
Well, I mean, not necessarily vertical routes. I mean, you can throw a fade in 3 steps.
That's true.
But like routes that take time to develop, you know,
right. That's what
routes
I mean.
Routes that
break route combinations post corners
or double moves, stuff that, you know, there's routes out there that take time to develop. And a defensive line that's putting a ton of pressure on the quarterback kind of takes that out of the play, out of the game.
Yep.
Which, if you reverse the roles, our defensive line got no pressure
whatsoever
on Purdue. And that's why, one, they were able to feast. You know, Aiden O'Connell looked like Tom Brady because he was playing 7-on-7 back there.
Yeah.
So what does Phil do? Phil says, well, shit, we got to put some pressure on him.
Got to blitz.
So we blitzed like a lot more than we usually do.
And what happens when you blitz? It leaves the fucking DBs on an island.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're playing cover three zone fires most of the time. And you're playing cover three against, as a cornerback versus a really good receiver, it puts a lot of pressure on you because your main job is not get beat deep, but especially in some of those zone fires, it makes the underneath really weak. So
what are you supposed to do, right?
You're not supposed to get beat deep, which it happened one time too. So, I mean, I'm not going to make excuses for the cornerbacks out there. They didn't have their best game or the safeties or the linebackers for that matter. But the inability to put pressure on a quarterback makes playing the pass so much harder.
Like so much harder.
There was like no pressure all day.
We're going to take another quick break. We're going to talk about the defense when we come back. I think we've clearly identified that the offensive line, in our opinion, right? And well, we'll come back to that in a second. All right, we're back. Kevin's got 10 minutes, so we're going to shift to defensive real quick. What I was going to say there before the break was, again, this is just our opinion, right? You guys come to this podcast, you know, you don't have to turn us on. You don't have to even put stock into anything that the three of us bozos say. In fact, I've read several times that some of you out there think we have no real X's and O's knowledge, which is totally cool, right? Offensive and defensively, I'll admit, I'm probably just slightly ahead of your average fan, but this is our opinion, so take it for what you will. On the offensive side, we think it starts with the line, right? John Miller, I listened to his instant reaction real quick, and I know I sucked John off, and I know I use that analogy way too often, but it just is what it is. It's a good way to put it. He basically described it as, who cares what kind of flowers you're planting outside the front of your house if the foundation of your house is in shambles, right? You know, like, who cares what kind of routes we're running downfield if we don't have a line to block for the quarterback to throw to those routes? So it's the same kind of thing. Kevin, defensively, go back into what you were saying. There's plenty of people asking, why can't we stop David Bell? Like, what What do we do? Why doesn't Phil Parker? Why don't we change the game plan, man? Why don't we just think? Why don't we just change what we're doing in the middle of the game so that we can stop him, Kevin? Why don't we do that?
We mentioned it before. If you start game planning around one player, there's just opens up gaps everywhere else for a team to beat you.
Not only does it open up,
I mean, let's be honest. It wasn't just David Bell out there. Everyone, their whole receiving core is just feasting out there.
He had 11 and O'Connell threw for 30 completions. So there was still 19 other catches out there where,
You know, when we were playing man to man, their receivers beat our DBs. When we were playing zone, they were finding the gaps in our zone. I don't think our linebackers, I don't think got underneath routes into throwing lanes very well.
No.
And that, you know, give credit to them. They execute.
I was going to say, how much of this is just like, hey, sometimes those other players that are on scholarship, those other coaches that had, in this case, 2 weeks to plan, they came out and they beat us, man. Like David Bell, he went, here's one thing that I noticed. O'Connell, several times, trusting David Bell, he just took a chance, throw the ball, let Bell make a play, right? And he's a great player who made plays. They happen to run a offense that Purdue is not getting lucky. This is my theory. It's not luck that Purdue has been the team that's beat us 4 out of the last 5 years. Their scheme, partnered with the fact that they have David Bell, who is a perfect player and knows it, feels our defense out very well, partnered with their quarterbacks happening to have good days on the day that they play us, is this perfect scenario where they have our number. Like whatever they do, it's tough for Iowa to play Purdue defensively versus their offense. It just is.
Yeah. I mean, they did a good job of finding the holes in the zone. And when you are bringing pressure and you still can't get pressure,
it was demoralizing, dude. Seeing both of our guys blitz, us bringing six and he's still sitting there in a clean pocket. I was like, we're screwed.
It's like you, there's not much you can do at that point. I mean, you could try to just go cover one man to man all day, but those guys are going to beat our guys more times than not. I think, you know, especially when you got David Bell out there. So at the end of the day, defensively, just didn't get it done. I don't know if there's really a game plan that Phil could have called better. Honestly, they just beat us, you know.
And their granted, players, they still only scored 24.
Man for man, beat our players. What?
They still only scored 24.
Right.
I was about to say the exact same thing, is that Kevin has this like idea that the defense failed by giving up 24 because that's how ideological
it's ingrained
perfection
in him,
yeah. is driven into everybody who plays defense for Phil. But like the cut the bullshit, like the offense is the reason they failed. We kept just keeping them on the field. Like the time of possession the offense has versus the defense for the first 7 games of the year, the defense has way too many plays on them, right?
I will say this. Hankins had a bad day. On that long, I believe it was on that long crossing that turned into a 60-yarder.
Yeah, so I mean,
probably should attack.
They're playing cover one. He gets beat inside. Tries to make a tackle. Once you miss that tackle, you're just off the race.
Right.
So that's a big play. That turns into a touchdown. That turned into a touchdown. Is that the
no? I think we stopped them. That might have been a missed field goal.
But it still extends their drive. Keeps our defense on the field. You know, right. It's like, who knows? Drake's saying, if you can get the offense to just sustain a drive for twice as long, defense gets a little bit of a rest. I mean, it starts
right. Let's be honest. I mean, we've said it before, the way our offense plays into how well our defense plays.
Right.
And our offense is not
ball control type offense.
Yeah.
We're not set up to play from behind.
That either.
But that snowballed on us, because if every single one of our second downs is from behind positive position, then our third downs are third and long instead of third and two. We're not in running within running distance, and our offense just gets completely out of whack. That's just not how we're set up. And now we're punting, and we're punting 12 times a game. Thank God we have an all-American punter, but I mean, for one game, the defense couldn't stop the hemorrhaging that the offense was just causing, basically.
Because a lot of
blood. I mean, I wouldn't say it was the offense was causing the hemorrhaging. You look at the stats, third down, Purdue is 9-16. That's you got to get off the field.
Yeah.
You can't expect to win games giving up that many first downs on third down. There were some really really misfortunate timing for penalties that extended drives.
Yep.
And then, you know,
no turnovers. Times,
yeah, a couple of times defensive linemen get out of their pass rush lanes and quarterbacks break off a couple of scrambles for first downs, one for a touchdown. It's just a team loss defensively. I don't think anyone really played that well.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though, is like, you're right, this one game, but I believe that it was a compounding effect because the defense, it's like the defense has been running at 8,000 RPMs the whole season to win ball games. Yeah. And like, we just found out what happens if the defense doesn't come out and win the game for us.
Right. I agree. You know, this is kind of what, like, you know, Pollock was saying. We didn't force turnovers.
None.
We got one turnover because we were lucky. Didn't force it. And, you know, I thought special teams actually played pretty good. They put our offense in some good situations. But other than a couple, like, we had a couple good kick returns, a decent – we had one good start drive from punt return.
Yep.
But other than that, we didn't really win the field position game.
No.
And so that, you know, we said it before – our offense doesn't usually this year hasn't been good at long sustained drives. They had two in the first half and then in the second half didn't happen. Purdue scores again, didn't happen. Purdue scores again. And then just, you know, that mountain just looking taller and taller and taller.
Yeah. Kevin, I know you gotta bounce here. I think that what people, those who can sift through sort of the emotional, like, letdown of this game is, I saw a few people say, wow, this really makes me have a little bit more appreciation for what that 2015 team was able to do. And this is not for us to, cause Kevin, Drake and I respectively played a small part in that 2015 season. Very small. I mean, throw all of that on the shoulders of CJ and Josie and the players that are still playing, quite frankly. But
we were a much more balanced team that year.
Way more balanced.
Offense that got some shit done.
Defense was not as good, but the offense was worlds better. And it's so tough, man. I know in this micro vacuum of one weekend, it's like, what are we doing against Purdue? Like, how do we lose to them? But when we look back on this, it's so tough to, I mean, Alabama couldn't even do it this year. There's a few teams left that are undefeated. Like, it's so tough to come and it's the level at which you have to play to win week in and week out is so high that sometimes and all the variables.
It gets harder as you go on because the longer the season goes, the more film the opposing teams have on you.
Yep.
They find out your weaknesses, but you know, vice versa, we should be able to do the same. You know, Purdue has actually had a pretty good defense all year long.
They have third best in the Big Ten behind us and Penn State.
But I think their offense just kind of figured out where the holes were a little bit. They were able to put their guys in good situations and they took care of the ball.
Yep.
We, you know, this is our first time losing the turnover battle, I believe.
I believe so.
And here's your result.
Yep. Last thing before you go, Kev. I know you don't give a shit about rankings, but what do you think about 11th? You think that's too high or too low or what?
Resume based, I think that's just about right. Are they the 11th best team in the country? I don't know. Doesn't matter right now because it's not the end of the season.
Right. Cool. Well, thanks for being here. Thanks for showing up.
Hey, don't let the podcast burn down when I leave.
Well, it's me and Drake, so there's a chance.
Okay, well.
Look at Drake's face.
All right, well.
See ya.
Let's get home safe.
Yeah, get home safe. Drake, man. What is that face, dude? That's garbage face. You're freaking... I don't know, man. You're a troll. That's a troll look. We got trolled by Purdue. I don't know what else there is to say.
Dude, that's how I feel, dude. I feel so dog shit, man. Like, we were riding so high on this podcast. Like, we were just basically exclaiming, like, yep, we're the winners of the West. We're the kings of the West. See you assholes in Indy. And then the boys made us look like absolute cocks.
Hey, everyone needs to set down a little bit. Huh? Like,
is this good? Because we're not out there doing it anymore, man. We can talk all the shit. We're supposed to do that. And we were just riding, man.
Hey,
I'll always talk shit and I'll always ride for my guys. And we were out here.
But does that change, riding. Though?
Absolutely not. Right. But now we got to tone down the shit talking until the assholes decide to pick it up a little bit. Yeah. We got to let them digest a couple wins before we can talk the shit.
I know. And I think that's what Hawkeye Nation goes through a little bit on Twitter. Any sports, that's what fandom is, right? If your team's winning, yeah, bro, get behind us. Talk that shit, man. Talk. And then when your team loses, it's like, all right. We just got set down. Like, we just got put in the corner for timeout. And so now everybody on Twitter after the Penn State game, we were all so focused. The fan base was on Turtle Franklin, which people had a heyday with that on Twitter, by the way. Love the memes and the Photoshop edits of Franklin the Turtle. We were also so worried about that and talking our crap, being 6-0, number two in the country. And now we're a little embarrassed because now all those arguments we got in last week, now we look like dumbasses losing to the Boilermakers, right? So that's okay. That's okay. We get set down a little bit. There's nothing we can do. All right. There's truly nothing we can do about it. Right. Think about, like I said, you get no pay on Saturday. Boss says, hey, $0, but I'll see you on Monday bright and early because we're going to work for another paycheck that may or may not come. Right. Those boys are having to deal with that right now. So we know what that's like. I have one personal gripe with people on Twitter, and I know that people don't think about it this way, but I do think language is important. And again, murder me for it, but that's something Coach Doyle taught us: is language becomes how you think becomes how you speak, and how you speak becomes how you act, or something along those lines, right? When people on Twitter say that the play calling is unacceptable, or the play out of Spencer Petras is unacceptable, or the line play is unacceptable, right? That's very greedy to say it that way. It could be disappointing or frustrating to watch, maybe reword it that way, but unacceptable implies that these guys owe you something, right? And all they owe us as Hawk fans from the outside is their best effort. And you can guarantee that they're giving it every single play, every single game. And I know that Brian and the coaches, KF, the defensive coaches, Parker, Wallace, Neiman, all of those guys are giving their best effort to coach as hard as they can, to play as hard as they can. Those managers are managing as hard as they can. The trainers are fixing people as hard as they can, right? That's all you can accept from them. So unacceptable. Not really the best word, and it irks me, but that's just a personal gripe. Where does this leave Iowa, Drake? Like, it's proven. We were really hoping, even if we went through that magical run to the end, it still always felt like, I know for you and me, Drake, you can always get knocked off. I didn't think it was going to happen this week, but if you would have told me at 6-0, are the Hawks going to run the table? Would you bet on that? I would have told you no. I would not have.
Put oh, I would have.
I wouldn't I have. I wouldn't have.
Because you would have got good odds. You would have got like 3 or 4 to 1, and I'd have taken it every day.
Well, sure, on the you odds. Got
3 to 1.
On the odds, yes. But let's say, like, let's change the scenario around here. Gun to head, do they run the table or do they drop one along the way? Where are you going with that one?
Run the table.
Really? I always...
I'd rather die a champ than live a bitch.
You know, you just win people over with shit like that. That's a good shirt, by the way. Well, the long snapper would have said that we're probably most likely going to drop one somewhere along the way if you're playing the odds, right? And I don't think that that's a bad thing necessarily. I know this, it's tough to go into a bye week having that taste in your mouth, right? They got 2 weeks to chew on this.
Listen, man, I would now, here's something that I would bet even more on is that we see a significantly different team in 2 weeks because mm-hmm. they don't get to flush this in a week. They mm-hmm. have to sit on it. Mm-hmm. And when they watch games on Saturday, they're going to watch games as not the undefeated number two team in the country. They're going to watch games as the team that just shit their pants.
Embarrass themselves
in the biggest spot in any of their entire lives. So I can guarantee you that there's going to be an ultimately motivated group of young men that show up wherever the hell we're showing up in 2 weeks.
I went back to our playing days, 13 through 17, if you haven't forgot, and found our bye weeks, what we did leading into the bye week and what we did coming out of the bye week. Here's how those went. Freshman year, which we basically were fans for, we played absolutely no role in. We lost to Michigan State at home. We had our bye week and then came out.
That was a crazy game.
Yeah, came out. And we're up on Ohio State, number four Ohio State at halftime.
At Ohio State. That was a sick game, dude.
Yep. We're talking Carlos Hyde, Braxton Miller. We were up on them at halftime, lost 34-24 after the bye week, after losing to Michigan State previously. So came out, had our shit together. In 14, I remember this one well. We lost to Maryland at Maryland.
That was one of the ugliest losses we've had.
And we still almost won with late onside kicks. Or we were in it. We came out of the bye week after that loss to Maryland and stomped Northwestern. Stomped them. In 2015, obviously, we didn't lose any games that year. We beat Northwestern before our bye week, and then we came out.
And KF was like, yeah, you guys are going to enjoy this bye week.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh.
Yeah, it was game seven. Then we had our bye week. We came out and we played a closer than we would have liked game against Maryland. Desmond kind of saved us with a pick six in that one. So we won. So the first 3 years after our bye week, we came out and won after the bye week.
No, you just said we lost to Ohio State.
Or I guess but we played well. We played well. Yeah. Then in our junior and senior years, we kind of made this sort of even. We lost to Wisconsin, number 10 Wisconsin, in 2016, went into the bye week, and then went up to Penn State with 2 weeks of preparation. And
got thrown out of the club.
And got throttled, right? And then our senior year, we beat Illinois, went into a bye week, came out of it, and we lost to Northwestern in overtime, 17-10. And that was maybe one of the shittiest games we've ever played. So the results are a little bit inconclusive, but they got to chew on it.
This year, I'm telling you, man, they got to chew on it for 2 weeks and it's going to hurt, and it's not going to hurt until they can take it out on some other life form in two Saturdays.
Because now, you know, Iowa's got a bye week. They lost a bad game to Purdue. They're going to get to hear all about how Iowa isn't who we thought they were. Right. They're going to sit around and watch college football. A couple of the guys will turn on game day on Saturday and watch some college football with their
family. And they're going to hear Pollock's bitch ass
saying tell them how he was right.
How they aren't shit.
Right. And that's going to taste bad. It's going to feel bad. It feels bad. It feels bad for me. I can feel it. I can feel it. There's a fire. There's a fire burning inside of them is about all I can say. So, I don't know where
I hope we see just an absolute like nuclearly motivated squad.
Hopefully this, and this is part of the woes, right? I don't think Shooter's 100%. It's a great time for 2 weeks to get Shooter to as close as 100% as we can, because he's our second best offensive lineman when he's healthy, right? So if we can get a healthy Lindy, who's been there all year, we can get Shooter back to healthy. I think Connor Colby, who was that freshman we talked about, the Stallion from Cedar Rapids, I don't think he played very much. He might have been injured in and out. And then obviously if we can just get the minds right of our tackles who are somewhere in the stomach of Karlaftis right now, then this is a good 2 weeks for them. They have to get better and improve. And then we get Riley Moss back hopefully in 2 weeks. If not, he'll be back the week after that. Hankins blew his shoulder out and still played the second half of that game the other day. The biggest thing here is health and just getting their minds right and staying hungry. And that's where we're at. That's about all you can be. My personal advice is to take a walk in the sunshine, stay hydrated, eat, work out, and don't let your day-to-day life, you know, how you interact with other people, fall on the outcomes of 18 to 20 or 22 year old football games.
If you are feeling that way, go find yourself a jiu-jitsu class you will be fighting for your life and wanting oxygen way more than you want the Hawks to win. So
find a way to physically stress yourself in any way and it'll probably go away. Yeah. That's it. We're not going to sit here and act like that was a good week. That was a bad week.
I think we had a good podcast, even though they really shit the sheets. So I think that says something good about us.
Hey, huge bounce back by the walk-ons, baby. Let's go. And also, by the way, another thing that was fucked up about Saturday, which was yesterday, was I go do the post-game radio show. I appreciate everybody who participated and called into that one. We go check in our hotel. Lauren and I fall asleep. And we had an N320 moment in the hotel room. In the middle of the night, I hear a beep, and the door opens. And someone's coming into our room at 4 a.m. I thought I was going to have to kill someone in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, but we all know you would have backed down just like you did to that dude in Kinnick.
No, I did not want to make a scene in Kinnick wearing the Wash Up Walk-Ons hat and everything. But I swear to God.
Turn it around, dude. Nobody knows what hat I'm wearing right now.
Bro, I almost punched this cheese curd in the face. I've never punched anybody in the face, but this guy almost got it.
I'll tell you what. Punching someone in the face, if you flush them, orgasmic.
Oh man, that's it. We're gonna try, I'm not gonna say who, but we're gonna try and get a guest on for this week because we've got a bye week. Walk-ons are on a bye just like the team is, so we got to find.
We've been on the horn with a few guests and a lot of them are like, listen guys, life's busy.
Yeah, but we're gonna try and make this work, so hopefully we got someone cool coming to you on Thursday, and then we'll figure out something to do next Monday, but then obviously after that we'll be previewing Wisconsin. Camp Randall, not an easy place to go play after you just got your teeth knocked in a little bit, so
but it's a great time to prepare for a 3-4 defense for 2 weeks.
Yep, absolutely. That's it. Wash Up Walk-Ons 259. Hopefully you feel a little bit better. If you don't, go punch a wall or something.
Worked for me when I was growing up.
Yeah, worked for Drake. That's it. Thanks for listening as always. Peace.